Wonderful, beautiful, beautiful summary. You didn't leave at any point. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. It's a very nice context in which to start today, because I may have mentioned that you can actually divide the Surah Al-Fatiha into two very different sections. So up to Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in, it's a very different approach. And then after that comes the very first prayer, dua, actually. How? So let's see. We start with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And in this saying, we have mentioned Al, that we are praising God, but in the way the Prophet and the Imams have taught us. So we are praising God with ma'rifah, with recognition, not an imaginary God somewhere, but the Allah that the Prophet and the Imams have taught us about. Right? And Rabbil Alameen, sustainer, nourisher of the personal worlds. Every human being is a world. We talk about Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Rahman, the mercy is general. Rahim, the mercy is very, very special. Because the human beings are the highest creature of God, and if human beings have the intellect, then they need the spiritual and intellectual nourishment. So the word Rahim encompasses that. Then, Maliki Yawmiddin, the master, the Lord of the day of religion, the day of judgment. In this, we talk about the cycles of prophets and imams, and we said that resurrection takes place. Qiyamah is resurrection, and God has appointed the imam as the Malik, as the king or the Lord of that day. And we expect that in the spiritual cycle, Mu'mins are going to do better because of their devotion, their loyalty, their love, their obedience. And then we talk about, as Musa has so wonderfully summarized, Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in. Yes, bandi, banda. This is slavery, but it is not a permanent slavery. It is a slavery, a submission, which leads to Asal Mevasil. And the quotation from Prince Shams, as you rightly say, is that he talks about Teri dosti me, Prince Shams bolya me banda tera, Teri dosti. So these are two opposite things, to be a friend and to also be a banda. So what he is telling us, that begin with being a banda, you will end up by being the friend of the Imam, the equal of the Imam. You will become the Nur of the Imam. And in Nasta'in, we also said that we seek help after we do Ibadat. And Ibadat, submission, is a better word. Slavery may feel a bit uncomfortable, particularly for our younger generation. So submission is a precursor to asking for help. And this help should be asked for all the time. In gratitude, in times of difficulties, in sorrow, etc., etc. Now we come to the last part of the Surah Al-Fatiha. And the tone changes. Up to now, you can almost say that we've been praising God and, you know, setting out His attributes through the Imam and the Prophet and our relationship with Him. Yes? Yeah? Now, the tone changes completely. And it says, Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Guide us on the straight path. Look at this. It's such an important point. That the very first dua of the Quran, because the Fatiha is the opening chapter, Mu'mins are asking for guidance. It makes you wonder, doesn't it? That there are all these billions of people who now believe that you know, divine guidance has ceased, has finished. So why are we asking for guidance now? How is God going to provide this guidance for us? This is coming in this door. So first, the Nasira. Let's just analyze this word. I would spell it as I-H-V-I. So the word is Ib. So what have we got here? Two particular letters, H and B in Arabic, right? H and B. Now, I'm going to give you some more words like Hadi, guide, H-B, Hidayat, the guidance, H-B. So these are all related words. Ihdi is for guidance. Na, ihdina, ihdina. Na at the end is guide us. This is the pronoun us. Third person plural. Guide us. It's a difficult word to pronounce. You don't break it up because, you know, they have they are together, Ihdina. But one is the actual guide and the other one is us. Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Guide us on the Sirat. You might find some translations, I'm warning you, where they translate as guide us to the Sirat al-Mustaqim. No. Once you have accepted the Prophet Muhammad, you are on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. And we want to progress on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. That's why we need the guidance. And the answers are still coming. We are taking it word by word. So Sirat al-Mustaqim, the right path or the straight path, yes? How do we understand that? Where does this Sirat al-Mustaqim begin? And where does it end? I want you to reflect on this and you will find many, many different ways of expressing. For instance, you could go back to the first cycle, the first prophet, and say that Sirat al-Mustaqim begins with Hazrat Adam and it is going to end at Qiyamah. Yes, this is Sirat al-Mustaqim. Because from Hazrat Adam onwards, there has been a continuity of divinely designated prophets and imams. Or you may not want to go that far back in history, and you could go, because you know we know more about our own history from Prophet Muhammad's time, I hope. Then you could say that Sirat al-Mustaqim is what starts with the final prophet, yes? But I would rather say it continues with the final prophet and from the final prophet to the day of judgment. You know that in our preamble of the constitution, it has been said, under Mullah's guidance, of course, that the Quran is the final and the last revelation of God. Right? So we need this guidance of the final revelation, which is not an easy book to understand, until the very end, whatever that end is, because none of us know that. It's way in the future for us, and none of us physically will be alive. Our future generations will be there, okay? Or you can say, look at how many different meanings there are of Sirat al-Mustaqim. Sirat al-Mustaqim, because it is so straight and so correct and so right, it is the shortest path, from self-recognition to the recognition of God. Because that's what the Ismaili Tariqa is all about, self-recognition. Yes, the famous saying which is given both to the Prophet and Maulana Ali, Man arafu nafsahu fakad arafa rabba. He or she who recognizes his or her soul recognizes the God. Right? So you can say that from us, each one of us individually, This Hirat al-Mushta game starts with self-recognition and ends with the recognition of God. So there are many, you know, you can all think about it, right? Very, very carefully, and you will come across lots and lots of meanings. The more you reflect, the more you will. I want to share with you a little story, okay? You know that during the time of the opening of the Smiley Center in Toronto, the Prime Minister at that time was Stephen Harper, the one who started by greeting everybody with Ya Ali Madar. And he said that he had a student who was sharing his, an Ismaili student was sharing his room, and that this Ismaili student had a photograph of Hazar Imam on his bedside. The Prime Minister of Canada at the time of the opening of the Ismaili Center. Anyway, after that we had a flurry of emails, and one email was very interesting. It was written by a volunteer who was on duty there. And she said that Hazar Imam came back into the foyer of the Ismaili Center after saying goodbye to the Prime Minister, and the donors and the important people who had been invited for this opening ceremony were there, and the donors had their families, so there were some young children as well. And the volunteers had like a cordon, and the Jamaat was standing behind them. She said that Hazar Imam approached a young child, maybe 10, 11 years old, who was standing near this volunteer. And Hazar Imam bent down and said to this child, "Do you know what Sirat al-Mustaqim is?" I don't know if any of you received that, but I remember this very much. So this boy, Canadian, you know, self-confident, you know, they are very outgoing. And this guy said, "Yes, sir, the straight path." So he translated it very nicely. And Hazar Imam was very happy, and he said, "Well done." So when I heard this, I thought I have to experiment with some of my friends' children in Karachi, see what they say, right? So when I went to Karachi, there's a 12-year-old, she was 12 years old at that time, and I said to her, "Beta, what is Sirat al-Mustaqim?" And she didn't hesitate, and she said to me, "Maulana Hazar Imam." She gave the meaning. The Canadian child gave the translation. You see the difference between training and training children? They're both right. But I think that the child who said Maulana Hazar Imam is the right path, is the correct one, because she, Sirat al-Mustaqim is a symbol, and the meaning of that symbol is the Imam. Because I hope you all remember that when we were talking about the names of Allah, I did say to you all that everything which belongs to Allah has life and intellect. So if Sirat al-Mustaqim belongs to God, it has to have life and intellect. If the book belongs to God, it has to have life and intellect. If the house of God, if the house belongs to Allah, it should be living and have intellect. Nothing of Allah can be without life or intellect, okay? It's a very important point to bring here. So now, I need to substantiate that, right? Because we are talking about the topic of hidayat, guidance. The first dua we ask, "Oh Allah, guide us on the Sirat al-Mustaqim." So how is he going to do that? He is going to do that by appointing a Hadi for us. So I want to give you an ayat, Surah 13, ayat number 7, Surah Ra'd. Surah 13, ayat number 7, "Innama anta munzirun wa likulli qaumin hadi." O Prophet, indeed you are a warner, you are a Nazir. For every qawm, for every people, there is a guide. This is the guide. Hadi. Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. So, what is our belief? That we are Ismaili Tariqah, which you know, is eternal. It has no beginning and no end. And I have said to you before that our real name is Dawat e Haq, the invitation to the truth. What is the truth? The truth is that there is one religion, which is the true religion, and it is compared to a straight path. And the teacher on this path is the guide, is the Hadi, and his hidayat is the teaching to help us to progress on this path. Right? Now we are coming to a very interesting point. I'm going to say something which will shock you all, right? So on the one hand, Sirat al-Mustaqim is straight, right path, shortest path, etc. That's a good part of it. Very positive. But now the shocking part is that according to the Quran, Shaitan is also on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. I hope that shakes you up a bit, yeah? Shaitan. Why do I say that? I have two ayats for which you can study. And these are Surah 7. Open my Quran. Surah 7. If you read from 63, this is the story of Adam and Iblis, yeah? If you read from Surah, I got the correct one? Yeah. Yes. What have we got? In 63, God says, go. No, sorry, 62. Let's start at 62. It's after Iblis refuses to prostrate to Adam. So in 62, see you whom thou hast honored above me. So Shaitan is speaking now to God, saying, this creature whom you have honored above me, if you give me grace until the day of resurrection, I verily will seize his progeny, his seed, his zuriya, except a few. He's actually Shaitan telling God, I'm going to do this now, since you have banished me. And God answers him and says, go. And whosoever of them follows you, lo, hell will be their reward. If they follow you, they will all go to hell. And then God continues, beguile any of them whom thou can with your voice, and attack them with your horsemen and your horses on foot, and be a partner in their wealth and children, and promise them. And Satan promises them only to deceive. And then in ayat number 65, lo, my faithful bondmen. See, here we are. Ibadi, from the word abd, my faithful servant. Over them, you have no power. And your Lord is sufficient as their wateel, their protector, their guardian.
Sorry, Rashida bhai, can you just tell me which surah that was?
This is surah number 7, ayats 63, 60, no, sorry, I got it wrong. It's surah number 17.
17, thank you.
Okay, yeah. Thank you, okay.
Yeah, 1-7, and from ayat number 62 up to 65. Conversation with...
That's fine. Surah 7 was not right, yeah, thank you.
No, there is surah 7, but the ayat numbers are different. I opened on the wrong page with my stickers. There's also surah 7, and... look at from ayat number 14 onwards, right? God said to, Shaitan said, reprieve me till the day when they are raised, right? From the day their people will, meaning the day of resurrection. He said, you are of those reprieved. So God said, yes, I give you reprieve. And then in 16, now because thou hast sent me astray, verily I shall lurk in ambush for them on thy right path. This is a very important one. Surah 7, ayat number 16. Shaitan telling God, since you have given me time, you have reprieved me, I'm going to lurk in ambush for them on the right path. If you have the Arabic in front of you, Kala, Fabima, Awaitani, La'ak, لَأَقُدَّنَا لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. So the word صِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ is there in Surah 7, Ayat number 16. So two Surahs, 7 and 17. That's why I was confusing myself. Yeah, amazing, isn't it? If you're not aware of these things, how difficult. You know, you could be thinking, I'm on صِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, I'm following the Imam, I'm going to be okay. But the point is, Shaitan is always lurking here on Sirat al-Mustaqim. And now it will make sense to you why in the Jamaat, people, you know, we used to say it, but it's now disappeared a bit. We used to say, Ya Mola tu amaru iman chela dam sudi kaim ane daim rakje. Chela dam sudi. Meaning, up to the last breath, you've got to protect your faith, your iman, because shaitan can attack at any time. Shaitan has amazing subterfuge, you know, he has extremely amazing games with which he can make people, you know, which he can mislead people straight away, all sorts of things. And, you know, you'll be amazed how many tricks there are. Recently, I have heard of one particular trick, is that a young lady in a family of many sisters, right? She marries a Sunni Muslim brother. She marries him. Now, what happens is that she now tries to convert all her Ismaili sisters to that faith. This is an attack by Shaitan. So I'm just giving you one example, which has only recently been shared with me, but there are many others. I mean, this computer in front of you is an instrument of Shaitan. If you click the right buttons or the wrong buttons, you can come across things which can mislead you. We all know that. There's so much, what Mola said, misinformation, disinformation, fake news. But you know, if people don't have knowledge, they can easily be fooled. So please be aware that Sirat al-Mustaqim has two dimensions. On the one hand, it's a very, very positive idea with lots of hope. But on the second, you have to be aware that there are dangers even on Sirat al-Mustaqim, which is why we all need a lot of knowledge. A lot of knowledge. And the more your knowledge is based on the Quran, the stronger it will be. Okay? So guide us on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Sirat al-Ladina an'amta. Okay, here is one other Arabic word which needs, attention drawn to. Many people say ana amta, ana. They add an A because I suppose with Gujarati speakers, they need more vowels or something, right? But in Arabic, it is an amta, an amta. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, sirat al-lazina an amta alayhim. Right, so guide us on the sirat al-mustaqim. The path of those upon whom you have bestowed favors. An'amta is from the word ni'amat. Bounties, favors, blessings, right? So, Sirat al-Mustaqim is definitely that path. The path of those who have been favored. And it is definitely that, because if you look at our surah Nur, our favorite ayat, Ayat An-Nur, Surah 24, Ayat 35, at the end of this beautiful ayat about light upon light, Nur and Allah Nur, Allah guides to His light whom He wills. Allah guides to His light whom He wills. So Allah doesn't guide everybody to His light. So you are guided towards His light, that is Imam of the time, then please, let's all be very grateful to God that He has done this for us. It's a special, special favor, and it is also the path of those who have received God's favors throughout human history. And Amta Aleph. So, who are these people whom God has favored? We have to have the help from another Quranic ayah to find out who they are. So, you have to go to Surah 4, ayat 69. And yes, the translation is there. I'll read it out for those of you who do not have a Quran in front of you. Surah 4, Nisa, ayat number 69. Whoso obeys Allah, I don't read this Shakespearean English, right? I try to simplify it to modern English. Whoso obeys Allah and the Messenger, they are with those unto whom Allah has shown favor. Who are they? So I'm going to revert to the Arabic now. Yeah. Nabiyina, wa Siddiqina, wa Shuhada'i, wa Salihin. So these are technical words. Some of them you will know. You know, Nabi means, Nabiyina is plural, so it's prophets. Siddiqina, my translation says saints, but in Ismaili terminology, a Siddiq is the one who is very truthful, and this is relating to a hadith about Maulana Ali, that you are the greatest, you are Siddiqul Akbar. Prophet said to Hazrat Ali, you are the greatest truth teller. So, Siddiq is actually, the meaning of it is Asas, the one who accompanies the Prophet. Nabi, Asas, then Shuhada. Shuhada is the plural of Shaheed. And you know, many of our boys are called Shaheed. And Shaheed has more than one meaning, but one meaning of Shaheed is a witness, somebody who is present, witness. You know that even in a secular court of law, if there's been an accident, and if you witness the accident, then you can go to the court and give witness. But if you're not there when the accident took place, you can't be called a witness. So witness is somebody who's present. So shuhada means imams, because they are always present and they are witness to what the people do, both the good and the bad. And it's one of their names, of 99 names. Shahid is for God as well, is for the Prophet as well, it's for the Imam. But the present Imam, you know, when we say the Hazirul Mawjud is present amongst us, because that is important, that he should guide you, but he should also be your the witness of whether you are obeying his guidance or not. So these are the imams. So prophets, asas, and imams, and then come the salihin, who are behind the imams. In the classical times, we used to call them hujjats and peers. Those who have reached the level of being the moon, i.e. they have the reflected light of the imam, who is the sun of religion. S-U-N, yeah? Sun of religion. The source of light. And if there are people who have elevated their souls to the level of a peer or a hujjat, then the light of the imam reflects on them. They are called the salihin. And after them come all the others, including us, the murids. So I want you to reflect on in what elevated, what exalted company people are who are on Sirat al-Mustaqim. They are in very, very elevated company. They are in the company of the prophets, of the asasis, of the imams, of the hujjats and peers, and we are their followers. And we want to reach the level which they have reached, because that is the purpose of a path. A path doesn't mean you stay at the beginning and you stay there forever. No, it means you progress on it. You go forward on it, step by step, stage by stage, rank by rank. you know, one other symbol of that is Mi'raj. The word Mi'raj is a ladder in Arabic, a ladder, and the ladder has rungs, and you climb up one by one. Okay, we'll go on because time also goes on. So we have looked at Sirat al-Mustaqim, and then those upon whom you have bestowed favors. But there are two other things. Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim, ghayr al-maghdubi alayhim wal-aswalin. Not the path of those who have earned your anger. Ghazab. Straight away, you know, young people, throughout my career with the Karita board, people would say, you know, advisor, we started in the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most beneficent, compassionate. And here is God, he's angry. So you got to understand, what does this ghazab here mean? Very important to understand that, because anger actually in a human being like us, you know, it's a sign of weakness that we are not able to control our emotions, so we get angry. So, you know, anger is not a good attribute, and it certainly doesn't belong to God, right? But what does it actually mean then? It has to have some meaning. The meaning is that in God's creation, there are certain laws. Absolutely certain laws, which if you do not obey them, there is an automatic reaction. So I give you one example first from outside our personality. And that is, for instance, we all know that fire is a very good thing. It can cook things for you. It can give you heat. But at the same time, you know that if accidentally your finger or your hand or any of you touches the fire, you will be burnt. Right? So it's a action and a reaction. You can't blame anybody for it. It's just you who didn't follow, you are not careful about this law of natural law of God. The fire can burn, and it can burn you. This is one example of such a natural law. The other example is from within us. These laws are also embedded in us, right? So you know, the minute you do something nasty, not pleasant, you get a message within you saying, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I had not said those words. I wish I had not carried out that action. So God in his mercy already has implanted, he's embedded these laws, natural laws, in his creation, in our personality. So when you say that, you know, please don't let us be on the path of the people on whom, you know, you are angry. Yeah? What we mean is, please help us to avoid these type of mistakes. And anybody who follows Imam's guidance will naturally be protected. So we are not going to be in that group of those who have earned the anger of God. And then the final, the walazwalin or walazwalin, those who have gone astray. They have just wandered off. Yeah? And here, I want to mention to you several farmans of Hazrat Imam, in which he has said, do not wander from the Sirat al-Mustaqim. In 1997, I think it was, yeah? Or was it earlier? Maybe 1992, I think. I went to Nairobi to attend the Didar as a Wiser, advice there. And Hazrat Imam used that phrase several times in the Quran. Do not wander from the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Do not wander from the Sirat al-Mustaqim. What was he saying? He was saying, don't ignore my farmans. That's what he was saying. Obey my farmans. I am your guide. I am Noor. I am your nourisher and your cherisher of your intellect. Follow me. But he used the phrase, do not wander from Sirat al-Mustaqim. Now, we've got to, in the last few minutes of our session, we should really look at these three groups. The ones who follow the favored ones, the ones who earn the anger of God, i.e. natural reaction because of their own behavior, and those who have gone astray. Three groups. How do these three groups form? What happens to cause this type of deviation, this type of behavior which causes the unhappiness, the anger of God? And yet there are those who still remain staunch and devoted and dedicated and on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. How does it happen? We have to look at the history of religion. We have to look at the history of religion. Right? And I have been thinking now, which example should I introduce which will be easy for you to all understand? So I've chosen the time of Hazrat Isa. Hazrat Isa, the fifth great Natiq or prophet. I hope that you all know that Hazrat Isa was born a Jew, right? He was born a Jew, right? And who is a Jew? A Jew is one who follows the prophets of Israel and the previous great prophet, Hazrat Musa. So he was on that path. Hazrat Isa was on the path of Judaism, which is a later name, but nevertheless, at the time of Hazrat Musa, it would have been called the same as what we call Ismaili Tariqa, Dawat-e-Haq, the invitation to the truth, because the invitation to the truth is always one truth, the divine guide. So Hazrat Musa and Hazrat Isa, the next prophet, but Hazrat Isa didn't bring a new religion. He was simply correcting all the contamination and the impurities which people had introduced into the religion of Hazrat Musa. But what happened? What happened? When Jesus came, what did people say? There are some Jews who said, who is this new imposter? Who is he claiming to be prophet, right? They're not going to accept. So they kept to their old ways and they carried on practicing as they had been taught by Hazrat Musa. Finish. But there was a group of Jews who thought, we have to teach this man a lesson. So you all know from the stories of Jesus Christ, which were regularly on our TV at Easter and Christmas and whatever, that a group of Jews, vindictive types, they colluded with the Romans and others and finally managed to crucify Hazrat Isa. Right? And then there was the third group. The third group who said, no, Jesus is this new, a continuing light of God, and he is here to give us a right path and the right guidance on that right path. Three groups. So what is, how will we classify these two groups? So the ones who followed Jesus, knowing that he was simply continuing the Dawat-e-Haq, the invitation to the truth, they are the ones who remain on Sirat al-Mustaqim. The group that said, no, 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 we don't need anything new, anything different. We will carry on with our old ways. They are the ones who went astray. They are no longer on the Sirat al-Mustaqim because Sirat al-Mustaqim means the path of the prophets. Okay? And the prophet in this time is Hazrat Isa. But that other group which colluded against Hazrat Isa and put him through so much pain, they are the ones who become the ones who break a very, very important natural law of God, and therefore they become the bearers of his anger, if you like. They become the cursed ones, if you like, because they set out to be the enemies of the light of God, and they put him into so much trouble. These three groups. I've given you the example of the time of Jesus because I think that you might all be a bit familiar with this story, but this has happened every time a new prophet has appeared or one imam, permanent imam, has appointed the next imam. It has happened every single time. That's why this Sirat al-Mustaqim and the dua for it is so important. It can happen to any of us, because it has happened throughout the history of religion from Hazrat Adam to up to now. And as the straight path from Hazrat Adam was continuing, this has been the problem, that people have not been able to remain on the straight path. They either go astray or they become the Ghairil Maghdoob. Fewer and fewer people, if you like, remain on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. But the Sirat al-Mustaqim is one, God is one. His Dawat al-Haq invitation, one religion. And then when they go away from it, they give different names to their branches, right? And that's how all the multiplicity of interpretations and religions comes about. Okay? So what am I saying in summary? I'm saying something which I wish every single Ismaili on this planet was really convinced about and was also proud of that. I'm actually paraphrasing what Maulana Hazir Imam said in the Canadian Parliament speech. Do you remember what he said? He said that, there have been splits throughout about who is a legitimate person to be the, let me see if I can find my book, yeah? Yes. He said that in the Shia sect of Islam, there have been schisms, there have been splits. He said, in time, the Shia were also subdivided over this question of, in brackets, rightful leadership, so that today, the Ismailis are the only Shia community who, throughout history, have been led by a living, hereditary imam in direct descent from the Prophet. So I'm paraphrasing what Imam said here, but he put it in the context of the Shia, etc., right? I'm going all the way back to Hazrat Adam, and I'm saying that we Ismailis have come through this long history, and we are the ones who are still on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, because for us, the light of God has never disappeared. It has never been blown up. It is continuous without interruption, and it is right up to this present moment that you can look at Hazrat Imam and you can say to yourself, my goodness, I'm witnessing the Nur, which was in Hazrat Ali, all the 48 Imams before, in the Prophet Muhammad, in Prophet Isa, in Prophet Musa, in Prophet Abraham, Nuh, Adam, and even beyond. That same Nuh. That's why I said, I wish every Ismaili was aware of this fact and had that confidence. My God, I'm so lucky that I'm in this position. I'm going to stop there now, and we can have questions and answers, yeah? There, I might bring in one or two points in the questions and answers, okay? But I think I should stop, because I've spoken for nearly 45 minutes, yeah? More, nearly, yeah?